Good evening, it is 5pm and this is Today in YGK on CFRC 101.9 FM, broadcasting from Lower Carruthers Hall on Queen's Campus in Kingston, Ontario. Today in YGK is brought to you by CFRC's News Collective, Christina Laurie, Jesse Bell, and Ellie Sturton. CFRC's news programming is made possible by the generous support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada under the Local Journalism Initiative, Queen's University Career Services, What'll I Wear at 732 Princess Street, and the Screening Room at screeningroomkingston.com. I'm CFRC's broadcast journalist Christina Laurie, and here are your local news headlines. Yet another controversial development came before council at their meeting on Tuesday night, this time a high-rise at Kingston's waterfront containing luxury apartment units. 5 Lower Union Street, currently a vacant wharf next to the Great Lakes Museum and Historic Dry Dock, is the site proposed by developer Homestead Land Holdings. The 19-story mixed-use building laid out in the proposal would provide 118 units, with 225 bedrooms total. The journey to council approval has been long for this proposal, with discussions starting in 2019. Councillor Connie Glenn started the discussion, cautioning council against moving forward with the development. Her first key concern was the community response.
It was a very contentious build, and I think that one of the fundamental issues that was brought forward is the community felt a lack of consultation. And I know that there are going to be a lot of counters to that. However, unfortunately, this development took a long time to make its way through the system. So initial consultations took place before this council even came into being. It was under the previous council, and a lot of it took place virtually. So there were a number of individuals, I think, quite caught off guard by this and wanted the opportunity to speak against it. But at the end of the day, when we're building a community, it's important that the community feels we're actually building with them. And this just didn't hit the mark in that way. They felt that it was being built despite them, despite their legitimate concerns, and despite the fact that they felt they had a different vision for our city. And ignoring the concerns and the vision of constituents who actually currently live and reside in this place, I think is fundamentally going to be problematic for us as we move forward. I know that we say we're listening, but sometimes I'm really concerned that we're not hearing them.
In addition to the consultation piece, she also expressed concern regarding what this could mean for the future of Kingston's waterfront.
I also think that we are challenged here with what we are doing along our waterfront. We're seeing multiple proposals for various things to go along the waterfront. And we've heard criticism from the community about putting more tall buildings right on the water, like other cities have done, only to regret them much later on because that space is no longer there for the community.
Glenn concluded, noting a criticism that has come up with many recent residential developments.
I asked some questions about the affordability of this, and the reality is that these are not going to be affordable units. They're going to be very expensive units on the water. So yes, we're in a housing crisis, but the housing crisis is one of affordability. So until we're building more affordable units, like the ones that we're looking at for Verona, I don't think that we're making the mark, and I don't think that this makes the mark.
However, Councillor Wendy Stephen represented a different perspective.
The property taxes that come from this new build will feed into our operating budget. And our operating budget is what we use to do things like supportive housing. And we just approved supportive housing, and we know it's going to be expensive, and we need that money over time. So I think the argument that this isn't affordable housing, I mean, yeah, it's not, that's true. But through those property taxes, that generation will allow us to create more. We also need housing of all kinds. We've been through this a million times. We are in a housing crisis. We are still short. This will help.
In addition to this point, she mentioned some of the positive features the development could bring to the waterfront.
It's not just private residential. It is that. But it's also got continuation of the waterfront trail, which wouldn't be possible unless this land was developed. And it's also adding in green space for the community at the waterfront. Like, this is a win.
Ultimately, the amendments required for the development to move forward passed with a vote of 10-3.
I think that once it is built, I think people are actually going to like it.
Kingston local artist Colton Fox is celebrating a milestone this week, the worldwide release of Witch Hazel, the award-winning comic series he co-creates with artist Beige Bloom. The series follows Hazel, a young witch in Toronto who takes on supernatural odd jobs. 3 years since its first release, Witch Hazel is reaching audiences far beyond Kingston. with its first global release through publisher Silver Sprocket. Fox dropped by CFRC to talk about his journey from getting started to international distribution.
I have always been into comics, like as an art medium. I always felt it was like the best of both worlds, like words and pictures. You know, it's like, what's better than that? The experience of kind of like creating almost like this movie in your head while looking at these still images that like pack so much life in it that they don't feel like still images at all. And so I got really into those. And then my first kind of published work was when I was at Humber College. I was the like editorial like newspaper artist. So I would do like two comics a week in their paper. And then from there, I got involved into like anthologies in Toronto and then eventually into self-publishing my own works. And then now seeing them professionally published is a huge reward.
After spending time in Toronto, Fox returned to Kingston during the pandemic and found his place in the local art scene.
Kingston was a great place for me. In Toronto, there's a lot of competition in terms of like being a comic artist and just an artist in general. Whereas Kingston, I found it was a lot more accommodating for me, and there was a lot of interest in the work that I was creating. So like the Skeleton Press, they were great, like offering me a lot of full page comics and doing local stories, ones that I got a lot of fun, like researching the topics that they were giving me. And that made me a lot closer to the Kingston scene. And then I had a residency at the Tent Setter, the Tent Setter, through Modern Fuel, like this artist run community. So they were fantastic. I really appreciated that opportunity to explore my artwork even further. And then the Isabel Bader Center for the Performing Arts also commissioned me for a series of illustrations for a theatrical project that they did. So shout out Kingston. Like, they've been such wonderful supporters of my work.
And it was during Fox's time in Kingston that Witch Hazel bloomed.
I was also involved in a anthology called Horny for Charity, where it was a bunch of artists doing sexy drawings to benefit charities that were kind of struggling during the pandemic, such as the 519. And so in that anthology, I came across Beige's artwork, and I really loved it. I love that they could do kind of like a realistic figure, but then also like a cartoony figure. And that range in style was really awesome to see. So I reached out to her and I was like, hey, like, I really want to collaborate with other artists. Like, typically, like, I was more of an artist than a writer. But then whenever I was working with the writers, I would have a lot of notes and they were getting fed up with me. And they're like, well, if you think you know how to write, why don't you write the damn thing? And I was like, maybe I will. And then here we are. So I wrote the story and then I did like the page breakdowns, like the layouts for the story, so that Beige could focus on just doing the artwork. And I asked if that was okay. And they were like, totally. So from there, I asked her, like, you know, what are your interests, like music, movies, like let's curate a vibe so that you'll enjoy drawing and I'll enjoy writing and we can like marry our ideas. And so Witch Hazel came from that. So there's a lot of like autobiographical elements in Witch Hazel. So like the summary is that she's a witch who does odd jobs on a supernatural job app. And so that was pulled from me. You know, when you're an artist, you get a lot of weird gigs and a lot of odd jobs. But I also did door-to-door for a community action group to get people to sign petitions. And so it was a lot of like knocking on strangers' doors. But that like experience was very much in Witch Hazel, where she, you know, goes door-to-door and goes into these strangers' apartments to solve like these conflicts with magic. And fun fact, I didn't know that Witch Hazel was a plant at the time. I just was like, Hazel's a nice name for a witch. And then I saw like, this bottle of lotion that says Witch Hazel. I was like, what? They stole my idea.
I thought that had to be an intentional.
I know, it was complete after the fact. I thought like I was originally going to name the book like Witchcraft or something. But then when I found out that Witch Hazel is a thing, I was like, oh my God, that's like perfect. So I made that the title.
The response to the first issue, released in 2022, made it clear that Fox and Bloom had conjured something special.
And so that first issue was entirely self-published, and it went on to be voted Best Independent Canadian Comic of 2022. So that was really exciting. And shout out Kingston, because it was from popular vote. So a lot of people in Kingston showed up and voted for it, and we had flyers and business windows and stuff. And they said that that was the most votes they've ever gotten, which was really exciting to see. And so we got like a little plaque, which was really cute.
The local support came in many forms, with grants like ones from Awesome Foundation Kingston helping Witch Hazel along the way.
I should also mention that the Awesome Foundation in Kingston also gave us a $1,000 grant. It was really funny. I didn't really know what to expect when I applied for it, but I wasn't expecting to like stand in downtown Kingston, like in that center where like they have the farmer's market. I had to like stand down there and then loudly like in public, like pitch Witch Hazel to like strangers. And I don't think that was properly explained to me ahead of time. So it was so scary. But I had also come up with a magic trick ahead of time, which I think got me the grant. Like I learned how to like, I don't want to spoil how the trick is done, but basically like you light the end of a stick on fire and then through sleight of hand, you turn it into a flower. And I think that magic trick got me $1,000 because like that had to have been the reason I won. Cause there were many other wonderful people looking for that grant as well. So shout out Awesome Foundation, another example of Kingston being awesome and being super supportive of the arts.
However, as the audience continued to grow, getting the comic into readers' hands was no small feat.
With the previous issues, how distribution worked was I had to call up comic book shops. I had to, you know, bring them in a backpack or mail them off. And it's like really time consuming. It's really expensive as well. Like sometimes you might not even make any money after, you know, if you have to spend like $60 shipping books and then they take their cut, you're only making like, you know, $40. So it's like, woo, awesome. I can buy like a coffee, you know?
But that changed when Witch Hazel was picked up by Silver Sprocket, an indie publisher with international reach. Now readers across the globe can find the comic at their local shop and large retailers.
So with Silver Sprocket being able to distribute the book around the world, like I was able to call up stores across Canada. I was able to message people in comic groups that are in Australia, the Netherlands, like Europe, and they were able to get the comic in stores there. And it, like, I was getting a bit of an international audience, even of people being in like, you know, England and being like, oh, I want one of your comics. Like, how do I get it? And I was just like, that's the neat part. You can't. But now because of Silver Sprocket, it's, I can say, oh, just go to your local comic shop and they can get it.
And Fox and Bloom have no plans of stopping anytime soon.
With the Silver Sprocket release, it's, you know, reaching so many more people, and so many more people are like, you know, from different parts of the world are saying how much they love it and like saying such kind things. And a bunch of people even said it was like the best comic of the week, you know, this little indie book that no one's ever heard of, best comic of the week, better than Batman. And I'm like, whoa, yeah, take that, Batman. So that was, that meant a lot. Yeah, I'm just really excited to have, you know, like grown the audience, seen, people's reactions to the comic and seeing how much it's meant to them. And, you know, like Hazel's like a queer woman of color, and like the artistic team, like Beige, is part of that demographic. And so like, you know, it's getting kind of hairy out there for a lot of people from different communities. And, you know, it's really heartbreaking to see. And so I'm happy that like I've been able to put this comic out there that is, you know, full of joy, like good messages, you know, magic, comedy, action, fantasy, romance, like just like having this like fun comic out there, you know, just trying to make the world a little bit of a better place through it and through the artwork and through the storytelling, like having the larger reach to make, you know, a bit of a difference, however small that might be, like that really brings me a lot of joy. And really fuels my passion to keep making more, because we have so many more Witch Hazel stories. It's, you know, there's so many written and so many in the backlog that, you know, we really just are excited to have the means to produce more and to share more instead of having to wait for me to save up enough paychecks to get the next issue out.
Once again, that was Colton Fox, local artist and co-creator of Witch Hazel. He and co-creator Beige Bloom are celebrating the comic's worldwide release with signings across Ontario. That wraps up your headlines for this evening. Next up is Jesse Bell with your weather and traffic report for this evening.
This is your Environment Canada weather report for the Kingston region. Monday, September 8th, daytime high of 18 degrees with a mix of sun and cloud. Tuesday, September 9th, a little warmer, daytime high of 20 degrees, a beautiful sunny day feeling closer to 21 in the direct sun. Wednesday, September 10th, 22 degree day here in the city of Kingston. It's going to be a beautiful and sunny day. Thursday, September 11th, even warmer still, a daytime high of 23 degrees with a mix of sun and cloud. However, it is going to drop down to 8 degrees overnight, so we are starting to get those chillier fall evenings. Friday, September 12th, daytime high of 19 degrees with sunny conditions. Saturday, September 13th, daytime high of 20 with an overnight low of 13. Sunday, September 14th, 75 chance of precipitation in the area with a daytime high of 21 degrees and showers all throughout the day. And then moving into the start of next week, Monday, September 15th, daytime high of 22 degrees with a 70% chance of rain in the forecast. This is your City of Kingston traffic report for the week. Let's begin with road closures. Aberdeen Street, William 2 Johnson is closed to accommodate construction activity and staging. Albert Street, Princess to Mac is closed to accommodate construction activity and staging at 484 Albert Street. Berry Street, Queen to Colborne, closed for construction-related activity at 283 Queen Street. Cranbrook Street, Lakeview to Days, closed on school days from 8:40 a.m. to 9:20 a.m. and 3:20 p.m. to 3:50 p.m. for School Street at Our Lady of Lourdes Catholic School. Earl Street, Collingwood to Toronto, closed for sewer separation and road rehabilitation work. Innovation Drive, John Marks to Innovation South, closed September 10th at 7 a.m. to September 18th at 6 p.m. for the installation of storm and sanitary sewers. Kings Court Avenue, concession to First, is closed until October 10th for a gas main installation. Lincoln Drive at Bay Ridge, closed until September 19th for the construction of new active transportation infrastructure. Montreal Street at Rideau and Railway is closed September 11th at 11 p.m. to September 12th at 6 a.m. for paving operations. Princess Street at Taylor Kidd and John Counter, closed September 10th at 11 p.m. to September 11th at 6 a.m. for paving operations. Sydenham Street, Princess to Queen, closed until October 3rd for the Sydenham Street Community Space. Victoria Street, Union 2 Johnson is closed for sewer separation and road rehabilitation work. Woodburn Road, Hitchcock to Whitechurch is closed for a contractor to complete culvert relining. Here are some other delays to be aware of. Bay Ridge Drive, Milford to Henderson, expect delays for the construction of new active transportation infrastructure and intersection upgrades. Cataraqui Woods Drive, Centennial to Gardeners, expect delays for the construction of a new multi-use pathway. Front Road, Sand Bay to Country Club, expect delays for the installation of sanitary and water main for Utilities Kingston. Traffic will be reduced to one lane in each direction. Gardner's Road at Centennial and Creekford, expect delays while a contractor completes intersection widening, traffic signal upgrades, and cycling and pedestrian improvements. Highway 2, Abbeydon to St. Lawrence, expect delays to complete enhanced flood protection of Abbeydon Road, Highway 2, and St. Lawrence Avenue. Highway 15, Kingston Mills to Middle, expect delays for a contractor to complete work on the Highway 15 CNR overhead structure. John Marks Avenue and Innovation Drive, expect delays while a contractor mobilizes to start work on John Marks Avenue, Innovation Drive, and Discovery Avenue. Work includes curb, sidewalk, asphalt milling, and repaving. Lancaster Drive, Limestone to Jasper, expect delays while a contractor completes construction of a new sidewalk and road improvements. Montreal Street at John Counter, expect delays for upgrades to the intersection, including new lighting, signals, lanes, paving, and signage to improve safety and efficiency for all road users and accommodate increased traffic from the Wavin Crossing. Trudell Road, development to Danbury, expect delays while a contractor completes road and sidewalk improvements. And Victoria Street and Earl Street, expect delays while a contractor mobilizes to site to start work on the second phase of reconstruction of sewer, water main, sidewalks, and road.
Thank you for tuning in to CFRC's local news programming. To revisit episodes of Today in YGK and hear more from some of our guests, Be sure to head to our podcast network at podcast.cfrc.ca. Today in YGK is brought to you by the generous support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada under the Local Journalism Initiative, Queen's University Career Services, What'll I Wear, 732 Princess Street, and The Screening Room at screeningroomkingston.com. Be sure to stay tuned for more CFRC programming coming up next.
What'll I Wear offers the best in vintage, funky, one-of-a-kind treasures, clothing, accessories, and a fabulous selection of jewels, vintage and new. Find the cutest purse, the most dashing of hats and sunglasses, everything to complete your individual look. What'll I Wear has it all. They can dress you from top to bottom. Find your new fashion fave at What'll I Wear at 732 Princess Street in Kingston. Visit their new location and follow them on Facebook to keep up to date with what's in store at What'll I Wear.